I suspect we have more than a few people here who are watching the Olympics. I was thinking about that, and it seems like every year or every time we have the Olympics, afterwards, there's some new sports heroes. People that have really excelled and stood out in whatever event they were in. And of course, they quickly get the attention of the people who want to use them to sell products. And so they're all of a sudden featured in one kind of product or another. But they really do become, for a while, heroes in their sport. You know, the church wants to also give us heroes. Heroes of people who have lived their lives in a relationship with Christ Jesus our Savior. Peter is one of those. In many ways, Peter is not unlike you and I. He may have lived 2,000 years ago, but there's much in Peter with which you and I can identify ourselves. You know, the very thing that we see in the reading this morning, he doubted. His faith in Christ Jesus and his faith that Jesus could sustain him on that water somehow went away when the wind got too strong. But there's many other things about Peter. His denial of Christ. His capacity to speak first and think later. Those are all things that probably most of us can identify with. But there's also a very positive side of Peter that I suspect most of us can identify with. Peter had an intense desire to be one with Christ Jesus. Remember the incident when Jesus wanted to wash his feet? And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, Peter, you will have no part in me." What did Peter say? "Then not my feet, but my head and my hands as well." Peter wanted to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suspect many of us in here can also identify with that. We want to be close to the Lord Jesus, but at the same time, we have a lot of the weaknesses that Peter had in his life. And of course, that very fact that we can identify with him, both in his weaknesses and his strengths, gives us courage, gives us confidence that we can live this faith. There's another image in the reading this morning that is also a strong image, the boat. You know, that boat filled with the disciples tossed around on that windy sea. Throughout our history as a church, that boat has been seen as the symbol of the church. Because, in a sense, we all are in the boat of the church. And we are riding sometimes in a rather rough and stormy ride. Because the church, throughout history, has had to ride the waves of time, the good times, the bad times. It has ridden against many kinds of forces of evil. And yet the church continues. I think today the church wants to present this Jesus who says to each and every one of us, as he said to Peter, "Come." He wants us to come to him, walking over the waves, not of water, but the waves of the time that we live in. And when we falter, that same Jesus is there to reach out to us and grasp us by the hand. He does not give up on us. He does not abandon us in our weakness, but wants to gather us to himself. You know, we live in a time when doubt is very easy. You know, we live in a very secular culture. And when you live in a secular culture, it means that religious values and religious things are not much emphasized and focused on in the culture in which we live. And many times they're either put down or minimized. And when we live with that, it does something to challenge our faith. It's harder to believe when the culture around you does not support belief. We also live in a time with a very aggressive atheism. You know, in the past, there were people who did not believe in God. But most of the time, they were kind of passive about it. Even at times, respectful of those who did believe. But that time is gone. There are now people out there, and I mentioned one of those a couple weeks ago, that are very aggressive and very assertive. And they basically quite publicly proclaim that if you believe in God, you're either stupid or you're insane. That kind of aggressive atheism also challenges our faith. It challenges our capacity to really walk our lives trusting in the promises that God has made us. And yet, in the midst of all that struggle, in the midst of all that uncertainty, Jesus is there to reach out a hand to us. How is he there? He is there, first of all, I believe, in the community of the church. We are meant to support one another in our journey of faith. We need the faith of each other to help us to continue our journey. Because when my faith is weak, your faith can be strong. When my faith is strong, you may need it in your weakness. And if we can all support one another, we can more fully live lives of faith. He is also there in the Word of Scripture. That word that has been given to us, that word that constantly resounds in the community of the church. So that our moments of doubt, our moments of uncertainty, can be touched by the inspired Word of God. He is there also in the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist, where he comes to us to dwell in us, to renew our strength, to give us his presence. He not only comes to us as individuals, he comes to us as a community. He dwells within the hearts of all of us through the power of the Eucharist, so that we can become more and more the community that he calls us to be. But always, as he invites us to come to him, he also reaches out to us to support us in our struggles, to support us in our fears, to support us in our moments of uncertainty. Just as Jesus asked Peter to come to him, then reached out his hand to save him, Jesus asked each and every one of us to come to him. And just because we are weak, just because sometimes our faith is not what we would want it to be, Jesus does not abandon us. Instead, he reaches out to us to pick us up, to draw us to himself.